Let's hear from the Liverpool manager now, Jurgen Klopp, with Andy May.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
All right, lads, welcome to the latest edition of Get Off The Yard. It's Sunday evening, and delighted to say I'm again joined by Dunny, Dave and Kenny. How is everyone?
All right, not bad.
Good, yeah. The other lads?
I'll tell you in 2 minutes. Sorry, Fred. Yeah, I'm good. I'm all right. Yeah. Tired. Royal Rumble's on tonight, baby. Looking forward to that. I know it's not football related, but fuck it.
Yeah. And what about you, Kenny?
Yeah, just give me 2 minutes there, just adjusting a few things. I'm good.
All right, well, look, another interesting week in the footballing world. Obviously, the FA Cup was in sharp focus, and for the second week in a row, Liverpool are the big story, but for all the wrong reasons. Kenny, in the battle of the ex-Borussia Dortmund legends, Wolves came out on top, and in particular Paul Lambert, and there was a hint of Villa off it with Wyman getting the winning goal. What did you make of the match overall?
Yeah, good old Andy Wyman, nice finish. I liked Paul Lambert's tactics, very Villa-esque during his time there too.
Trying great to get record at Anfield,
couple of lads breaking forward. It gave me some good memories there in the Villa. Villa games, but really was just the passion of the Wolves players and the performance. Credited them for beating Liverpool there. Really was enjoyable to see their celebrations after the game. Not having any bias for either team, but you always want to see the underdog trying to overcome. Unfortunately, Liverpool couldn't do that.
Yeah. And Dave, Jurgen Klopp this week under more pressure after today's result. He compared the Liverpool project like building a house. You probably wouldn't hire him to build your house, would you, the way things are going?
Not at the moment, no. Especially with the foundations that he's laid with his defence. He's had a difficult January, to say the least. No wins. A couple of really, really bad defeats to lesser lights. 3 home defeats in a row after going over a year unbeaten. So yeah, it's not been a very good couple of weeks for old Jurgen.
I mean, it was funny. We were kind of sitting here last week, and I don't think any of us expected. We knew Liverpool would have a tough week, you know, especially with the with trailing to Southampton. But I think we all probably would have expected them to beat Wolves. But I mean, the doomsday scenario for Liverpool is really upon us. With, you know, they're out of the Carling Cup, they're out of the FA Cup. The only 2 trophies they, you know, probably realistically after January's Premier League results had a chance of winning. Dunny, you were very critical of Jurgen Klopp this time last week. You must be even more so now.
Well, yeah, he hasn't really given me any reason not to be critical, to be fair. I mean, I just want to start off, first of all, I mean, with a positive note. And I want to actually congratulate Wolves. I congratulate Paul Lambert. I thought it was fantastic. I want to start off on a positive note, because not a lot of positivity, really. Basically, I've got some stats here in front of me, and I'm watching the game. It was really with my head in my hands for most of it. It was superb. They'd done their homework. They were passionate. They were fighting for each other. It was just every man in it. They were blocking shots when Liverpool finally got a bit of impetus going well into the second half. I saw the lineup for the team, and I thought, oh dear, here we go again. It's a second string team. I thought to myself, if we get a replay, I don't want a replay, but if we get a replay, we'll be lucky. He had a starting lineup with Karius, in goal. Okay, I get that. That's fine. He plays Randall as a wing back. Randall had not played a game all season. Okay, he's played 45 minutes of football. That was in that match on Saturday. What he's doing there, I don't know. He's played Joe Gomez, who's had 3 appearances this season, and there were 2 matches against Plymouth and that one against Wolves. Clavin, Clavin's a donkey, he's useless. Moreno, scrapyard for him. He needs to go in the summer. He's absolutely awful. But you would expect him to at least, you know, you're on the periphery of the first team. You think, well, you know, show me. Tell me why you need to get into this team ahead of James Milner. He has not done that. He's one of these guys who can't defend, won't defend, but he's good at going forward. He was always good at going forward. He doesn't even do that now. He just ran the ball out so many times. It was depressing. Ejaria, another youth player, 19 years old, has only played 8 times, and really 5 of those were lengthy appearances in the cup competitions. I get why he's played. Actually, sorry, you got Ben Woodburn as well. 5 appearances, but only 3 lengthy ones, and that was the 2 matches against Plymouth and Wolves. He was terrible in the first half, but when Randall was taken off at half-time, replaced by Coutinho, and Woodburn was put onto the right wing-back position. He was actually good. He actually looked like he knew what he was doing. And I'm actually surprised he hasn't been given a bit more time. With the first team, I get why he's put out a B team. I understand that. We got Chelsea on Tuesday. So they're saying, oh, maybe go for the cup. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm talking about not having a strong squad. So he needs to rest players. I get that. Chelsea's a huge game. We lose to Chelsea. Chelsea won the league pretty much. And Liverpool will be very lucky to finish top 4. I don't think they will. I've said that. But why? I mean, he's got himself into a position now where he's thrown 4 young lads into a team. They've never, I mean, Randall hasn't played a game all season. He's thrown these guys into it. Yeah, you know, Gary Neville came out on Twitter. Oh, well, you know, it's a cup game. We need to get youth players in. Yes. But why isn't he playing these guys during the season? I remember when Alex Ferguson used to play, when he used to pick a team, he would actually put a young player in amongst a lot of experienced guys. They could talk him through it. They can encourage him. He makes a mistake, to give him a balking or to put an arm on his shoulder. They'll talk him through it. They were always surrounded by winners. They were always surrounded by constant professionals. But when you throw 4 or 5 in, you know, one team like we've done over these fixtures, then they haven't got a clue. They haven't played with each other before. It's a group that's never played before, and it is a group that hasn't played before. You're going to get what you got on Saturday. A disjointed, terrible performance. There was no impetus. I mean, I'm going to run down some stats, because I took some interest in the second half. Said, right, I'm going to watch this really properly. At half time, Liverpool had 79% possession. Liverpool had 4 shots, Wolves had 5. Liverpool had no shots on target at halftime. Wolves had 2. There were 2 goals. The full-time stats, Liverpool still had 79% possession. Liverpool had 20 shots, Wolves 7. Liverpool eventually had 5 shots on target, Wolves had 3. Did you know that the Wolverhampton goalkeeper didn't have to make a save until the 59th minute? 59th minute, he made a save, and it was a very comfortable shot into his arms. I think Coutinho took the shot. It was literally just a hand warmer. He just scooped it up. 65 minute, there or thereabouts, wasn't until Liverpool start to threaten. The only good thing was that Conor Ronan, under 19 player for Wolves, came on. He's only 18 years of age, and hopefully he's another Irish player coming through. He did start with the English under 17 side, and he's coming through. That was the only good news on Saturday. It was really depressing. I mean, Clavin was poor, Wijnaldum was poor. Lucas was awful. You expect more from him. He needs to go in the summer. He's lost it. He knows. He can go on media, and he can go on as much as he wants about, oh, the Glazers is my club, blah, 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 blah. He has lost it. He's not arsed. He knows he's going to be gone in the summertime. His performances have been awful. I know he got a goal against Plymouth, but it was a lucky goal, to be fair. He's been awful. They were panicking. They didn't know what to do. There was just absolutely no cohesion. And for a club's football, style of football to play, it needs cohesion. It's all about people making runs. It requires a lot of training. You cannot stick 4 or 5 players in and expect to play the style of football. Klopp at the end of it turns around and goes,
And this, I'm reading a quote from him. I am responsible for this performance because I thought this lineup was ready for this game, but obviously we weren't, and that doesn't feel too good. I could look for excuses, but I don't want to. Maybe we should use this time to be disappointed, to be frustrated, to be angry at ourselves. Yet again, what did he... He thought that was good enough, that team. He's put five players on there, young players. And here's the problem now. Has he actually done more damage to these young players? Because every time they've gone out, they've been terrible. And if he, I think, actually, he's hung them out to dry a little bit, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. He has just hung these guys out to dry. He's gone, right, there you go. You do that. You're on your own. And then it's gone. It's fallen apart. And then everyone's going to say, oh, why are these guys good enough? Now there's question marks over these guys. And it's just, what did he expect? You know, yet again, it's piss poor management by Klopp. You know, he's on about, he's trying to like build a house. Yeah, well, for a start, Jürgen, to build a house, you need blueprints. He doesn't have any. He hasn't planned anything. It's really bad.
In relation to, like, I think a lot's being made of the fact that Liverpool put out a second string team, but so did Wolves, Ken.
Yeah, Wolves did drop a couple of players as well, rested. given Andy Vyman a chance, so they just got in on loan, you know, who scored three goals in his last four games at Anfield. But anyway. Yeah, there were still some players missing for them. I think they had, like, Dicko was on the bench even as well. It wasn't even their full strength team, which I think brings in the kind of wider point of the FA Cup, with a lot of the teams resting players. And it seems to me this season to have gone down to the same level as the League Cup, where it used to have a higher precedence of, you still put out your full strength side. You might put one or two in, but I think a lot of teams have gone down that route of actually, let's rest a lot of players, let's give guys a break, and you know, let's see how this game goes. We'll give a few guys a bit of a chance, but we won't really tell them too much what to do.
Yeah, I suppose, Dave, the kind of, I think, and we've all been kind of critical of Klopp, but there's a lot of players. There was enough players on that pitch for Liverpool, seasoned professionals, you know, like Clavin, like Levy, like Wijnaldum, like Origi.
Lucas, yeah.
Yeah, like Firmino, that just didn't turn up yesterday, you know. And a lot's been kind of left on Klopp's door and at the kind of fringe players' door. But there was a good enough court, surely, to be a second string Wolves team, who, let's not forget, are battling relegation in the Championship.
You would have thought so, yes. But as David, as Dunny put it so well, they were just disjointed. Basically, they looked like they hadn't played a minute with each other before. They were all over the place, especially at the back. The second goal that Wolves scored, they countered it. They broke it from the centre defence, and within 2 minutes they were 2-on-2. The two centre backs were facing two Wolves players. The full backs were nowhere. I mean, Moreno was bombing back from I don't know where he was before, and the right back was nowhere, and that's where Voigtmund was slipped in, basically on the right hand side. That's just organisation. That's just lack of cohesion. Just complete and utter lack of organisation from players who weren't being, you know, led, weren't being influenced at all. They were just they just didn't look like they were.
I just want to come across here that, and that's what I'm saying as well, lads, is that Randall was the right back. He was taken off at half time. That was his only 45 minutes he's played all season. What is he doing there? He hasn't even appeared as a sub or anything. He hasn't played. You can't do these to these young players. Klopp's supposed to be this great coach that, you know, looks after young players. So he just throws four or five, you know, enough shit to a wall, and hopefully something will stick. Wolves did well because they had a plan. They had tactics because they had a limited team. They had tactics. Liverpool didn't have tactics. It's like, go ahead, lads. You know what sort of football I like to see. You can't do that. You need cohesion. They didn't show cohesion. As I said about Lucas, there was enough. I mean, Smeaney was there and Origi was there, but, I mean, Origi, he's limited. You know, he is on the peripheral of sublime, the precipice of sublime and ridiculous.
I think someone said to me once about Rigi, and it's absolutely right. Lucas, he's on his way out. He knows he's going out. It's just Klopp hasn't signed anybody, which you know, yet again, it's another problem. It was awful, and I tell you what, Wolves could have had 4 or 5. It was actually reminding me of Ireland versus Cyprus when we lost 5-2, and it was like they started taking the piss. I'll tell you, the collective unit of Wolves was excellent, but when they got into positions, they had so much space. They were like, Jesus, what do we do, lads? And he panicked. Wolves panicked on about 2 or 3 occasions in the second half and actually put the ball out and ran it into a corner. Because they couldn't believe the space they had. It was Christmas. It was awful. It was shocking. That has to go down to Klopp. Yet again, it's strength of squad. I've been talking about it all season to everybody that listen. It goes down to Klopp. That lands on the manager. You cannot do that. You cannot throw 4 or 5 young players in there. You've got to blood them in. Give them a chance. Maybe drop one to the bench and then bring one on. And if he doesn't work, then bring on a guy. You know, give him a chance to work with these guys to get match fit, to get used to playing the high octane football. Because as I said, there was Woodburn. When he moved into the wing back position, he was excellent. He was actually excellent. He was making runs. He was making smart runs. That's, you know, he's only a young lad. He was making great runs. He was hitting balls into the box. There was no striker in there for him to actually aim for, but he was doing all the right things. Why couldn't this guy be playing? You know, he knew what to do, but he hasn't been given a chance. He's been thrown in the deep end. And the problem is with these guys, they're probably going to be labelled. You know, well, these are the guys that, you know, got Liverpool knocked out of several cups of Plymouth and all that stuff, and they're not good enough. And, you know, and you know what it's like in football. Sometimes you have a look, you have one good game, you have a good game, and then all of a sudden you're labelled, you know, a great player. You have one bad game and you're shite.
Yeah. Dave, are we blown out of proportion, this crisis? I mean, if you had to say to Liverpool fans, I'm sure, to start the season, come the end of January, you'll be ahead of Man City and Man United, they probably would have been happy. But, you know, sum up Liverpool's season so far.
Up and down. Obviously, we've made the point earlier on the podcast about Klopp's high-intensity style of football, which has paid good dividends for them in the early games of the season when they were attacking at will. They were outscoring teams like Arsenal, Chelsea, they were winning matches against them. There was definitely questions back in September about how possible it is to, is it feasible to actually continue that that style of football throughout a season? And now we're definitely seeing doubts as to whether that can actually happen, because we're seeing what we're seeing in January. Liverpool shouldn't be losing to a team like Swansea. They shouldn't be losing to a team like Southampton, and they shouldn't be losing to Wolves, really, at home. So, yes, if I'm a Liverpool fan, that would alarm me. Yes, absolutely, because it's all well and good saying we're fourth in the league, we've had a good season up to this point, but when does a blip become an actual, more than a blip, a full-blown crisis? You know what I'm saying?
And you talked about kind of Klopp's style of play, but, you know, could be draining Liverpool, you know, even in January. But isn't the question going to eventually be asked, if Liverpool keep falling at these hurdles, are they physically weak or are they mentally weak? Isn't that going to be the question that's eventually going to be asked here? Because, you know, I know Liverpool play a high intensity game, but there's no one that can tell me that a Liverpool at 50%, or even with you players blended in, can't beat Plymouth at home, can't beat Swansea, can't beat Wolves. Like, this is just completely unacceptable, even for a squad that, by all means, isn't as strong as some of the other bigger teams, or, you know, bigger squads in England. I mean, when do we start analysing beyond the physical side of it and start saying, is it a mental block with Liverpool that any time they move themselves into a favourable position, like they did on New Year's Eve, that they just combust?
Yeah, well, we talked about this.
Is it to do with Gerrard being back? Is he the cause of the slip?
Any real excuse.
we talked about this previously about the mentality that they seem to have when they feel they're superior to other teams, that we'll just turn up and we'll win, you know. I'd link back to the kind of psyche at the club, and this is what I think is the fifth team to knock them out from a lower league, from a cup, from the FA Cup in the lower league, I think in the last maybe 9 or 10 years. I think there's Barnsley, Reading, all of them all come to mind that knocked them out of the FA Cup, when I think they kind of just turned up and thought, hey, you know, we're better than you guys, so.
But they should be thinking that, though. You know, no, I mean, that's confidence, though, isn't it?
It's the opposite. It's complacency, where they think we're good enough to go and beat you guys. Yeah, we'll just turn up. You know, they put the same effort in.
Ferguson used to do that, though, didn't he? When he had young players, he used to he'd take one or two out, and he put a couple of young players into the mix, like one or two, when a team was playing well against a weaker side. Because when a team is playing well, and a young player goes into that, they can feed off that. They just, you know, it just clicks. It's just a good feeling. They can feed off that.
Yeah,
it's all well and good, having the belief and the confidence to beat these teams, but you actually have to show the desire to do it as well.
But young players will show desire, though, Dave. It's just, as I said, if you play these guys, if you start these guys. Why wasn't Woodburn starting against, I don't know, Burnley away from home, or you know, young hungry players? Just one, give them a go. We don't, you know, we're very poor in the wing backs. Klein has deteriorated as a right back. We don't have a left back as James Milner. You know, he's doing a decent job, you know, but you want a bit more than decent. Put him in, see how he does. And I mean, he does shy, but hey, you've given him a chance. He does well. You put him in against the, and it gives you a chance to rest your players, and you're playing against lesser opposition, where you won't have that complacency from the big guys, where you have these young lads trying to make an impact. But he hasn't, but this is what I'm saying, lads. It's poor management. He's a great coach, but he's a shit manager. He can't. That's management, and he hasn't done it. And we're seeing this, and it's no coincidence when we're playing midweek football. He hasn't done it. We're failing. He hasn't blooded these guys in, and he hasn't blooded them in. As I said, Woodburn, you know, Randall hadn't played a match all game. And he throws them in, and you know, and their style of football requires cohesion. It's a team game. That's why it's beautiful to watch, because it's like four or five players that have to be on the same wavelength. Because the guy, you know, Henderson will go on the ball and he's hitting it into the corner. Your favourite player, Ken, he's hitting it into the corner because he knows Mane Mane is going to be running onto it. Or Lallana, you know, they know it. It's training. They've been doing it all the time. You need to get these young lads in on that style of football. If that's the style of football you're going to play, if not, you need to have a plan B. Klopp does not have a plan B.
You mentioned something about how Ferguson used to blood players like that, whereas they'd be in with the big boys. They make mistakes. They give bollockings to these young fellas. They tell them what to do.
Yeah.
My question for you, Donny, here is, if Liverpool were to adopt that policy, who off Liverpool team would you expect to put the arm over the shoulder of these young kids and tell them what to do and how to win?
James Milner.
And who else? That's the thing. There isn't really any natural.
That's a good point, Dave.
It's a good point, and it's a very good point, and actually we touched on it last week. Kenny mentioned it last week. It was a very good question, Dave. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You've got players like Gary McAllister coming in. But James Milner, he's won shit in the game. You know,
sorry to cut you off there, Donny. If I was Jurgen Klopp right now, I'd go out and sign Frank Lampard on a 6-month deal till the end of the season.
Yeah. But he wouldn't suit their style of football, though, would he?
Well,
because high octane, I mean, he'd be, at his age, he'd be looking to get off the bus.
Their football isn't very high octane at the minute.
No, I see what you're saying. I mean, look, Hulier did it when he brought in Gary McAllister. I remember someone said they bought him for £1 million, and I remember one of the last.
Emre Can isn't high octane.
Emre Can has deteriorated. He's gone backwards over the last few months. I don't know what's happened with him, but I get what you're saying about that. And they do need a veteran, but yet again, it goes back to the point with New England Sports Ventures, or whatever the fucking call these days, is that they don't. Maybe that's why he's brought Gerrard back. I don't know, but I mean,
them lads must be bright enough at New England Sports Ventures to say, you know, if we bring someone like Lampard in, obviously he's no sell-on value, but the experience and the learning that the young players will get from him will increase their value tenfold, because they'll become better players from playing with people like Lampard.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, and it's a good point. I do agree with you. We need someone like that, Lampard, or somebody like that. But I don't think they'll do it because they're not smart football people. They're smart people, but not smart football people. You know, when, as I said, go back to McAllister, that was a football man, Hulier, making a football decision, and it was a brilliant decision. He was fantastic for us. Shame he's a shit manager, but, you know, he's a great player.
But they've done it before. They've brought in people like Corker and things like that when they've needed. I know it was kind of an emergency loan and things like that, but they have done things like that.
Loan.
Yeah, but I'd nearly say they're borderline desperation at the moment.
They are borderline. Sorry.
Yeah, they've had such a bad run of it this month, you know. The one victory this month being against Plymouth, you know. You had the game at Plymouth, you scraped a draw. Okay, what did I learn from that game? It seems absolutely nothing because, you know, you went and had the same approach for the next game in the FA Cup. So I don't know if Jürgen's just doesn't really actually value the FA Cup.
I think he does to a degree. I think
Gary Lineker was calling him out about that.
Yeah, like it does look like he doesn't really value it because the team he put out, I mean, there's no forward-ticking midfield player to maybe unlock
the
defence.
Had they won the match, I don't think anyone would have said that.
See, that's the thing. I mean, I like Gary Lineker, you know, a great player, and he's a good presenter and all. I like him, but I would listen to him on that. I mean, look, Klopp...
Yeah, but don't listen to Gary Lineker on it. I said it there a second ago.
I'd
listen to you, Ken.
thanks very much.
No fucking choice.
Every Monday.
But I mean, you know, there was a picture of Klopp there on the sideline, and I thought he was going to have a stroke on the fucking touchline. Like, he was so angry. He was livid. Like, he was absolutely screaming, you know. I get the whole idea. He should be able to put out a second string side to beat a piss poor Wolverhampton side. You know, now they weren't piss poor yesterday. They were very good, but that, you know, they're struggling in the championship. You know, they're in a relegation battle. And we should be smashing them against Plymouth. Argyle should be able to put a second string side out. But the problem is that it's like, you want, what style of football do you want to play? You want to play the high octane stuff? They can't do it because they haven't played it all season. They're not match fit.
I think Dave's hit the nail on the head here. That, you know, at other clubs, when you brought in young players, they were around winners. Like, even when Arsenal do it now, you know, the Sanchez and Ozil there who've won it and they've been there. And when the match, like it will do when you've a lot of young players, when you start to have a bad period in the match, that you see it out and you don't panic.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Liverpool's problem is that they just, and we've said it for a while now, that they just don't have enough players who can see out a crisis. I mean, the fans were booing Liverpool at halftime. Completely understandable. They pay their money.
It was
a very good performance. But you just wonder whether people, there's someone in that dressing room who would say, instead of sulking about the fans booing them, like, you know, Firmino or Wijnaldum, who was relegated with Newcastle, you know, that when something is going bad, they can say, look, don't worry about that. You know, just get your foot on the ball and do what you've been coached to do.
Well, yeah, I know, but the manager should be doing that as well, shouldn't he, as well? You know, I'm looking at the side that went out there yesterday. There was nobody on that pitch, really. Moreno, good luck. Lucas, he's the vice-captain, he's not the vice-captain. Milner is, isn't he? But he's, like, the third captain. But he doesn't care anymore. He knows he's gone. Lucas should be, ideally, the one on that pitch, being the captain, should be giving bollockings out or should be encouraging or whatever. But he didn't look arsed. He was terrible as well. Yeah, I get the point. There's no winners. But you know what? The thing is with Liverpool is that unless you sign winners, you know, you've got to become winners. You've got to win something. And this is what's frustrating, is that if this team could have won a cup, it could have started it. It started the revolution at Man City.
It's almost, you know, a catalyst.
Yeah, just that's it.
Mourinho identified that early when he was at Chelsea. You know, he went hard for the Carling Cup.
Just something, just say, there you go, lads. You know, that's like, that feels good. Yeah, do you want more of that? Yeah,
have
lovely.
A taste,
you know,
of this.
Yeah, but that's what's so frustrating. And that's what I'm on about with Klopp, with the piss poor management, is that there were some players there, like, as I said, out of all those young lads, Woodburn looked really, really good. I know Gomez was out for a very long period of time. Woodburn looked good. He really, you know, I was watching him, he was excellent. I could see him make an appearance, but he should be. My problem is that he hasn't blooded any of these guys in. They've only played in the cup games. Some have only played in Plymouth, like played a first game against Plymouth. You know what? They can't play the high octane stuff. And at the end of the day, are you really going to expect a 17-year-old like Woodburn or Ajari, who's a 19-year-old, or Gomez, who's 19 as well, Randall, who's 21? Like, are you really going to expect these guys to start? Oh, fuck it! Like, I'm gonna do my, you know, I'm gonna put in the back of the net. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that way. That should be up to the senior players. But it goes to show you the squad is not good enough. It really isn't. And I think Clavin, Wijnaldum, I think those guys need to be gone in the summer because they are hopeless. And Moreno and Lucas as well. I just hope with Liverpool, I just hope that Klopp can go to the board and say, look, lads, look what we've done. Until we hit a snag, we don't have a big enough squad. We need to invest heavily into the squad. We need a couple of experience. But hopefully they'll have that conversation. And then we could have, you know, it could look a lot better. And maybe that's the positive we can get out of it. You know, but I can't see it happening, to be honest.
Well, won't it be
he's
just
2 days to bring them in Kenya. Now? Sorry, he's 2 days to bring a few in between now and the end of the season.
And he hasn't brought anyone in. Hasn't brought a fucking, not a sausage.
Well, Mane is coming back now. He should be back to Chelsea match. Well, that'll be like a new
private jet to bring him back.
Fucking rocket launch could get him back.
Could have paid that money to buy one experienced player, but who cares?
Won't it just be typical of Liverpool, Kenny, to go now and beat Chelsea 3-0?
I actually fancy Liverpool strongly on Tuesday.
I think they're going to be disjointed because yet again, as I said, they are that style of football requires constant. You have to be playing it all the time. It's all about awareness. They're disjointed. They haven't played for a while. They're going to be starting from scratch again because that our first team hasn't played for a while. You know. And it's going to be disjointed. It's going to be shit. I hope I'm wrong.
I just think it's so psychological with Liverpool that something like there's be a lot of, and as we touched on, there's a lot of kind of fragile personalities in that dressing room that have been scarred by losing leagues or losing Europa Cup finals or being beaten by Aston Villa in a semi-final. There's a lot of fragile personalities there that look for something else why they've imploded, and I actually genuinely think that something as simple as Mane coming back will actually lift them mentally because they'll be like, you know, oh, he's back, we're good again, you know, kind of thing. And I actually fancy them against
the Chelsea. The other thing they have going for them against Chelsea, I think, is that it's a home match at night in the evening.
Yeah.
They do seem to, you know, raise the atmosphere up for those evening games, as Dunny would know from experience.
Yeah, I just want to applaud Mane. I mean, what a trooper! Like, I mean, to purposely miss that penalty to get home in time. I just want to congratulate Mane. What an absolute superstar!
He's set a new record there as well. He's got knocked out of 3 cups in 4 days.
Yeah, fucking
unbelievable. There was a video of him there actually, inconsolable with you know, sadness that they were out. There was a big caption under Twitter there saying, Mane, after he's realised he has to go back to Liverpool, and it's him crying for about 30 seconds, having to be lifted off the ground and everything.
Yeah, I mean, well, hopefully he can do the business. I mean, we have missed him, but yet again, he's going to be tired. You know, he has been playing, which is good, so it's not quite like an injury, but he's going to be knackered from that. He's got to get reacclimatised to Merseyside and acclimatised to fucking, I don't know what style of football Senegal play. I'm not sure it's similar to Klopp's style. And he could look like a bit of a third wheel, but hopefully not. I mean, but I can't see it happening.
All right. Well, I suppose we'll find out midweek. But on terms of Liverpool, I think we've kind of pretty much covered that off. So we'll move on. Okay, guys. So sticking with the FA Cup, and like at Anfield, a lot of teams made a lot of changes, and that's brought up the annual debate about has the FA Cup lost its magic. So my question to you guys tonight is, do the pros with the FA Cup outweigh the cons? Surely scenes at like that at Lincoln yesterday and at Oxford and at Sutton United today outweigh the stories along the lines of the big teams resting players. What about you, Dunny? Does the FA Cup still hold magic for you?
Not fucking recently, no.
Jesus Christ. Look, I think the FA Cup at the moment, if you support a Premier League side, I think the FA Cup is a bit like Christmas. It's great when you're a kid, but, you know, now it's for the little kids, it's for the little guys, isn't it? It's for you, Sutton United. Well, it's true, isn't it? I mean, it's an opportunity for smaller clubs to get money in, to get a bit of exposure. Sutton United, not too far from where I live, and, you know, I know somebody who works for them, and absolutely delighted for them, and it was AFC Wimbledon and all that. There is that bit of magic to it, but unfortunately, it doesn't really get interesting until the quarter-final stage, because I mean, there was Hull today against Fulham. I was at that match, and Hull, I think, had a second string side out, and Fulham absolutely smashed them 4-1, although Hull didn't hit two penalties. You know, it was a good game, actually, as well. But I don't. It's not as magical. I mean, it used to be do or die the cup. You know, it used to be do or die. I remember in the '90s watching Match of the Day, and ITV would be on one bus and BBC would be on the other bus, and he'd be on the bus going with them to the stadium, and it was massive. It was great. Like, you used to be able to get everyone around, watch the telly, like get popcorn and stuff, no matter who was playing. Remember Arsenal Sheffield Wednesday? I couldn't give a fuck now, if I'm honest.
What about you, Ken?
Yeah, I think Dunny's analogy was brilliant about Christmas, you know. It certainly has kind of devalued over the years, akin to kind of becoming the League Cup equivalent now. It's gone down to that level with some of the clubs. But there still is that magic and those types of results that happened over the weekend, and seeing some of those teams come true, you know, especially the likes of Sutton United. And Lincoln, even in the Wickham game against Spurs, it was great to see. You know, Wickham looked like they'd made it, but only to lose it at the death against Tottenham's 10 men in the end. And I think it's just, it has lost that bit of magic, but it's still interesting to see, and it's nice to see an underdog get through to the next round. And I think that's why, you know, on an FA Cup weekend, like in the early rounds now, I think you'd rather watch a lower league team against a Premier League team than actually two Premier League teams playing against each other, because you know it's both their B teams usually were playing for the Premier League team, whereas if you're watching the lower league side, you're thinking they're going to try and give it a real go, and hopefully you get some high scoring games, which over the weekends, you know, we had what, 7 teams scoring more than 3 goals, so it was good to see.
Do you know what I really enjoy about it, Dave, and, you know, and this is why it still kind of holds a special place for me, is that I suppose as a Premier League almost snob, for want of a better word, you don't get to see too much of the lower league football anymore. And then the chance, or even, you know, to see reserve team players play that much, and the chance then to see, I don't know, like obviously you guys watched the Liverpool match, but the lad Costa off Wolves yesterday, who I'd never seen before, looks an absolute star. And just reading up on him there, he's managed kind of by George Mendes, and the likelihood is that he'll end up in the Premier League. But, you know, to get the chance to see him and the lad off Arsenal, Adelaide, I think his name is, was sensational. Did you get to see much of that, Dave?
I just seen Match of the Day, really. The lad you're on about, Costa, yeah, he was... He was bought in by the new rich owners at Wolves, isn't he? I think he was...
Well, he's only on loan from Benfica.
Benfica, yeah. So I think he was a bit of a property for a while, and yeah, he's meant to be a decent player. And I agree with the lads as well. I mean, the scenes at Lincoln, and that was an unbelievable game yesterday.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
To come from behind to beat Brighton like that as well, team that are flying in the Championship, that's what the FA Cup's about. That is the beauty of the FA Cup, and that's why it's still held in high regard, and it's got the affection it has. What I'd find alarming isn't so much the big teams resting players. We all know about that. We all know the likes of Arsenal, United, Liverpool, they'll rest players. What I find kind of strange is the fact we were talking about earlier, Wolves rest players, Leeds rest players, Brighton, Newcastle all did. Rather than seeing the FA Cup as a chance, a genuine chance to win a trophy, they are sacrificing that for, you know, their league positions, which I would find surprising, because they should probably be looking at that as a chance to win a trophy, which you have to question yourself. I mean, Wigan did it a few years ago, and they got relegated. There was an argument made that most Wigan fans would have been happier for survival that year than rather than win the FA Cup, which, you know, I kind of find...
Which, in fairness, though, in hindsight, when you look at what's after happening to Wigan, you can kind of see their point.
It's one of those, isn't it? What would you rather? I think if you asked 10 fans, you'd get maybe a 50-50 split, I suppose. But you're seeing that a lot now with the likes of Leeds and Newcastle, Brighton. Yeah, they're going for promotion and they're going for their
own. Isn't it just
leagues.
The case, though, that there's only a catchment of clubs that can really kind of take it seriously because of the amount of money involved in getting promotion, be it from, you know, League 2 to League 1 and League 1 to the Championship and then obviously the Championship to the Premiership. That catchment of clubs are teams with deep squads and then teams that have nothing else to play for, really.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going for promotion or you're in danger of relegation, your focus is going to be on that.
I think we saw that with Crystal Palace last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
A team that had kind of done enough in the early stage of the season to survive... We're in free fall in the league. And Watford as well, actually. They got to the semis.
Yeah.
They were able to put their full attention... And Man United as well.
Yeah.
But they were able to put their full attention into the FA Cup and done well in it, whereas the rest of the top-flight teams were eliminated early on in it.
Do you know what really pisses me off, Dunny?
Go on, me?
People want the FA Cup to be... held, you know, in high esteem and for the quality of the matches to be excellent and for it not to be disrespected and Gary Lineker coming out with that kind of dross earlier. But surely, if they wanted the FA Cup to be respected, then the scheduling would be done better. It's constantly, especially the early rounds, on a stupid times, either 2 days after a Premier League match or 2 days before a Premier League match. You can't blame clubs for resting players.
No, you really can't. I think football in this country needs a massive overhaul. I think it needs to get its priorities right, and that's not just the league. I think that's also broadcasting as well. I mean, Cardiff, Fulham, shown 11:30 in the morning in Cardiff, and I think the first train from London to Cardiff got in at something like 11:21 or something like that, like 5 minutes before. Hull City today. That game was 12:30. Could you imagine what time those guys had to leave Hull at? It's like a 230-odd mile trip down from London just to get there. Why was it on 12:30? It wasn't even on telly. You know, there was an outside broadcast for Match of the Day, but there was no actual. It wasn't shown live anywhere, so I don't know why. Yeah, it just needs a massive overhaul, Frank. Like everything in it. I think the problem with this country. I tell you, the problem with this country is living in it. Is that they're afraid of change. They're afraid of change. Oh, the Victorians that gave us this. Yeah, but that was 100 fucking years ago. We need to move on. And I think that's the problem. And it does need a massive overhaul. I think the way to do it needs to be done. I think the way the FA Cup is now, it needs to help out the smaller teams. So, like Sutton United now are on a crest. They should be getting a massive windfall of cash. I was delighted to see it was on telly. But they really, once they got to the third round, their matches should have been on telly. That should have been on, like, the AFC Wimbledon game. The first one should have been on telly, but it wasn't, you know, that sort of thing. But, yeah, you're right. It just needs a massive overhaul, like, to fix your congestion at Christmas. It's too much, but, look, I suppose you don't need me to tell you, lads, that or anybody listening, that it's all to do with money. It's all money. Yeah.
Ken, what would you have rather last year? Survival, obviously, you guys mm-hmm. went very close. And ultimately ended up getting relegated.
That's what you get for knocking us out.
Yeah. What would you have rather? Win the FA Cup and be relegated or survive?
Well, we went close the year before with a super team.
Sorry, excuse me. Yeah,
kept us up and nearly won the FA Cup for us at the time. And I kind of gave a false vision of actually things mightn't be too bad, you know? And when they were terrible at the time. So it is one where it's like, okay, which would you rather? Would you rather do this or the other when they're not actually that linked together, you know? I mean, when you're playing football and you're on a crest of a wave and you're winning game after game, you know, you're winning in the cup is going to help you in the league. I don't get this mentality of, we'll try and rest a few because we might be rested come February and March. If we get knocked out of the cup, it might give us a little advantage there. No, you win your games and, you know, you have natural confidence after winning a game, be it in the cup or in the league. So I think you'd be much better off trying to win whatever game you're playing, you know?
Because you get a lot of managers saying, oh, we take one game at a time, and clearly they don't. Clearly they're looking beyond, like Klopp, obviously. I mean, if Liverpool hadn't got a game till next Saturday, they surely would have played a full team, Dave, wouldn't they?
I don't know, because they haven't treated the competition up to that point with too much respect. I know they were playing Plymouth, but ooh, I could have easily seen a scenario where, I mean, he didn't play a complete reserve team, though. He did play, as you said, five experienced players.
Yeah,
I think it would have been something similar. I think he would have played the reserve keeper anyway, definitely. He played two strikers that would be considered first teamers and two midfielders that can be considered first teamers as well.
And it was a decent core.
Did he play Lovren as well?
No.
No.
Don't think he would have fucking made much of a difference.
Well, yeah. That's true. But, they lost the game. And as we said, Wolves played very well. I mean, let's not take that away from them. If they didn't have a game on Saturday, they probably would have. They could have played Coutinho. They could have played, I don't know, Lallana. I don't know.
So you think, regardless of fixture congestion, the big teams would still, want of a better word, disrespect the cup?
Well, they would have played not their full strength team, I don't think. No, and I don't think any Premier League team this week did, as far as I know.
It's completely bizarre, because I think a lot of people would argue, you know, with Chelsea running away with the league, that, you know, United are obviously in the League Cup final, that it was probably, it's probably Liverpool's, City's, Arsenal's only real chance of silverware. And, you know, Spurs will obviously have eyes on the Europa League, but certainly City and Arsenal will find it tough to win the Champions League. And as I said, this cup can any cup can really act as a catalyst to bring further success. I mean, is there a solution, Ken, to get what people call the magic of the cup back?
Well, I think there is still that bit of magic there in the results. You've got to look back over time, and clubs always rested maybe one or two players, you know. You give maybe one or two guys a chance, and I think that's the way it needs to go back to being. But, you know, if you've got Premier League games on Tuesday and Wednesday after this cup match, I mean, it doesn't make much sense for them, because that's where they're making their money day in, day out, is in the Premier League or in their normally. Even the Championship sides are resting players. So they've got their eye on that. And when it's very close, the recovery times, you know, any teams playing today might be playing within 48 hours. It's not going to really suit them at all. So I think they need to spread out their fixtures across the season. Maybe that is starting the league earlier or finishing the league that bit later. It's one of those choices for them to do, you know?
Yeah. Because it seems to me that clubs almost take the League Cup more serious than the FA Cup. And you just wonder if it's because it's scheduled better.
Yeah, I think it's earlier on in the season. I've been noticing that myself as well. I think when you come into just after the Christmas period, after the busy three or four games in a row, then you have the FA Cup. Yeah. Then you have the fourth round. And then you have replays as well, potentially.
That's a problem.
Managers are wary.
That's
managers are definitely wary of the draw.
But that's a problem in the cup, though, isn't it? Replays. I mean, that yet again, that needs an overhaul. I mean, I don't know if you lads remember, but the FA Cup final, if it was a draw, I used to go to a replay. Fucking madness. Wembley, get all the fans down from the north.
Here, Duddy, sorry, I thought you said Van Basten was mad.
Yeah.
That was his solution to it, anyway.
Well, there is
you're taking
nice,
that all back.
There is something nice, though, lads, about, you know, a team cash-strapped going to, you know, a big stadium and getting a replay, which means so much for them to bring a big team back to you know, to their home ground. That's probably one of the last kind of remaining.
I mean, if, let's be honest. If you want to bring back the magic of the FA Cup, this is how you do it. It'll never happen. Basically, the winner of the FA Cup gets a Champions League place. Simple as that. I tell you what, they'll be playing the full squads, Dan. But well, they don't do it that because that would because the FA and the Premier League don't get on. They never got on. That's why they formed the Premier League in the first place. And basically, you know, it won't happen. But that's how you do it. You have okay, you could have a chance where you might have a team that you know you don't really want in the Premier. You know, you don't want in Europe's Premier competition. You know, like a Watford or something like that. If they were to get to it, and they probably get slaughtered. Although Leicester are doing quite well in the Champions League. But that's how you do it. Simple as that. And you would see a massive difference in approach to it. And then it will become interesting. And then you would have, like, basically yesterday's game, Southampton-Arsenal, as you commented on, Ken, was absolute muck. It was a second-string side. Both sides put out second-string sides. Just Arsenal's second-string side was much better. And he hammered Southampton 5-0. I switched it off after 3-0. It was rubbish. It wasn't football. There was no point. There was really no point in that match. Liverpool Wolves was dramatic, but you know when you got teams putting out second string sides, it's there's no point. But yeah, as you know, we say we don't play them. There's nothing really to play for, is there? Oh yeah, it's going to the Europa. No one wants to go into the Europa League, you know. But put a Champions League spot for the winners. There you go, problem solved.
Yeah, but then of course, you know you're where does that Champions League spot come from? Obviously, you're then saying no to the top three.
Well, fourth place spot, but I mean, wouldn't it make it more interesting? Because it's actually, you've got a team that's actually won something to get into it, as opposed to just finishing fourth. You know, you've actually won something to get into it. And, you know, the old European Cup format was, you had to win the league to get into it. You know, and then, of course, there's more money that you could make by letting in the second and third place teams into it, and then it was fourth eventually. But maybe bring that back in. You know, you have to win something to get in the Champions League, lads. It is a Champions League. Maybe that's what they could do. They could offer one and two into the Champions League, and then whoever wins the other two cups, because it's the Champions League. So why not have the champions of something going into it instead of some? Oh, look, we finished fourth because basically the teams of fifth, sixth, or seventh are shied.
Yeah, but I suppose the problem with that, especially going into it, you know, with something as prestigious as the Champions League, is that it would be tough, and you know, obviously you'd need the draw to go for you, but you could probably get through to the semi-finals without having played a decent team.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're going to
next
have...
of all, you know, you win two games against two good teams and you're in the Champions League, at least over the course of a Premier League, you know, the top best four teams qualifying, you're going with your strongest suit. I mean, there's no way England would gamble with its confederation by letting teams like that into the Champions League.
I don't know. I mean, look at Leicester, Frank. Leicester, absolutely breath of fresh air. They've gone in with a style of football. You know, they're sussed out in the Premier League, obviously. No, they're sussed out. They've lost a couple of key players and they had a few players in the African Cup of Nations. So they're never going to win the league again or even challenge for it. They've gone to the Champions League and they've shocked teams. And they're not able to handle them. Like, the Premier League sides weren't able to handle them. You know, oh, shit, what's all this about? So I don't know. But yet again, this is what we're talking about. It needs to be overhauled. I think if that was the case with Champions League, then Premier League teams need to go in from round one. That would make it more interesting as well. They go in from round three, obviously, but there is a lot more. But then I suppose then the minus to that would be then you wouldn't have Sutton United in the fifth round of the FA Cup because it'd be blown away because you'd be having full teams played. But you never know. But that's what I would do if you want to bring back the FA Cup, offer a European Cup place or a Champions League place.
Okay. Well, look, obviously it's a big discussion point. Like, any final thoughts on the FA Cup, guys? What's the overall view? Do you still enjoy it, or do you only take an interest at the quarter final?
I don't enjoy it. Don't enjoy it really. I don't. I really don't. I love the fact Sutton
is bitter. He's bitter.
I'm not bitter. It's just
bitter like a lemon.
I mean, no, I don't enjoy it. It's just, it's not
I think another problem with it as well, when Sky got the rights to the Premier League, we couldn't afford Sky back in Ireland at the time, and you got a really good match on BBC or ITV, but mostly BBC in the early 90s. It was brilliant to see a Premier League, especially got two Premier League sides playing each other. He thought, wow, this is a Premier League game. And he still took the cup quite seriously in the early 90s. That novelty's worn off. Why? Because we're saturated with football. I think there's too much football on the telly. And then all of a sudden you'll have BBC show match. Go, oh, who cares? I think to bring interest, as I said, for the children, my analogy about the children, they should always... Why do we need to see Manchester United play second string side against Wigan? Why? That's 33 games, I think, on the trot. They've had shown live in the FA Cup. Why do we need to see that? Why did we need to see Arsenal Southampton? We didn't need to see that. We should be showing Sutton. I know Sutton was on the telly this round, but they weren't in the third round, which I thought was a disgrace. We should be watching the fairy tale matches, the fairy tale, like AFC Wimbledon and Sutton should have been shown on. That's mad. That is the magic of the FA Cup, one of the small things of it. And it gets any football fan interested because it's a fairy tale. But why do you want to watch your side play second string side? I don't know.
Well, you're right about the football's been diluted by the television companies, like Sky Sports and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, you're right, it can leave an effect where you're thinking we're watching just too much of it. But then you look at scenes like Cecil Bank there where Lincoln beat Brighton, and you're reminded of what football can be like for someone like that. It really, really was. It was a nice touch. It was the
first
game.
They're managed by two brothers who... Yeah. You know, used to be PE teachers. Mm. I think they were managing Ramtree in last year.
An actual Roy of the Rover story. It was the first game they showed on Match of the Day, even before the Liverpool game and the 4-3 Spurs, which just shows you what kind of story it was. It was a really nice game to watch. It was fantastic.
It was lovely. I didn't get to see it, unfortunately. I was coming back from Fulham. It was lovely. And that's what we should be focusing on more about. I think if they're not going to overhaul it, then the FA Cup should be used where possible to help smaller teams. You know, it really should. The monster that is the Premier League has gobbled up money. You know, it's gobbled up everything. And these little clubs are going out of business. And, you know, Millwall, for example, I mean... Anyone that comes into that moves in around South Bermondsey that just moves to the area, they're not going to support Millwall. They're going to support Chelsea or West Ham or Arsenal or Spurs. They're not going to support Millwall. So these smaller teams get absolutely smashed, and they, you know, they actually in the smaller clubs do a lot more for the community as well. They get them, and that's one thing that Millwall have done, and they could be on their way out to Kent. So. Yeah, I just think it should be a vehicle where it should be used to help the smaller clubs if they're not, you know. I think there should be a rule where you have to show a smaller team's match. And I think they need to stop showing Manchester United basically until they get to the series. But unless it's a really meaty tie like Man United, Liverpool or Man United, you know, something like that, we don't need to be watching Man United Reading. We don't need to be watching Man United Wigan. And I sure as hell didn't need to watch Liverpool against Wolverhampton yesterday. Fucking
Kenny, Donny's just being bitter, isn't he? Because the Liverpool Academy is churning out shy. You still love the FA Cup, don't you?
So he's got fucking to look forward to.
Yeah, the FA Cup magic. We'll keep it there. But I think Donny's got some good points about showing those lesser teams. I mean, all my memories of cup games are all about, you know, the underdog overcoming the favourites, you know? So they need to give that a chance. I'm looking forward to the next round to see how it plays out. Like,
has the draw been made yet?
No, does it?
No, it's on the one show.
Yeah, the one show.
Yep. Jesus Christ, and that BBC sums it up. Yeah. I don't think we can say any more than that.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
Hopefully to get Rod Stewart in.
All right, lads. I think we'll leave it there in the FA Cup. Okay, so a new segment this week that we hope will become a recurring theme. Each week, the lads are going to nominate someone who's pissed them off in the world of football. That person will label our wanker of the week.
No way! I cannot believe it. The guy is a wanker.
Donny, tell us more.
What are you saying? I'm the wanker of the week, Frank. I wasn't the one that held us up.
You're the wanker of the year.
Wanker the century, lads. Well, speaking of wanker,
nomination, Dave.
Well, yeah, it's basically a story that came up last week, and it has to go to the South End board, really. I read a story there that they sacked their groundsman, Ken Hare, who's been there since 1990. 27 years he's been there for, and apparently he was sacked because their pitch was frozen. They don't have undersoil heating. South End United, not exactly one of the mighty teams in the Premier League, or, you know, they're not even in the Premier League, and basically they've sacked the groundsman. And I even read a statement about it, which is just horrible. And this is a club statement about it, was that people generally lose the position as a result of not doing their job. The necessary decision surrounding Mr. Hare was a disappointment and, of course, not taken lightly. Very few people have been dismissed at this club over the past 20 years, and that extends to managers. I mean, that's a real shitty statement there, you know. I mean, anyone's ever been to South End, it's on the coast. When it's winter, it's absolutely freezing there. And he's been sacked. I just think it's fucking ridiculous. I think he's had a bust up with the chairman or something, and he's just waiting for the slightest thing to get rid of him, and he's just gone, boom, that's it. Frozen pitch in winter. Off you go.
Yeah. Looking into it a little bit deeper there, I found a nice petition started by the Bolton fans to stand up for Ken to try and get his job back. I instantly liked this campaign. But having a look into it a bit deeper, head groundsman Ken Hare, 27 years in the job, sacked. But only 2 weeks ago, Southend United tweeted, "Pitch is looking good. Hats off to the groundsman here at Roots Hall, who's worked tirelessly." this tweet, 2 weeks ago, saying how great he was at the job, probably because it wasn't freezing out at the time. And now, since their statement, they've gone and deleted that tweet, which makes them even more wankers than they thought they were in the first place.
Does anyone know who's on the South End board? Is Roy Keane a sitting member by any chance?
I just have this image of Jack Frost sitting on the fucking stand just laughing at the chairman, like, you know. I mean, just like, it's winter time, it happens, you know. Even some pitches with undersoil heating. I mean, I remember Millwall years ago. They actually had undersoil heating, and the match had to have an inspection. It was undersoil heating. They're right next to the Thames. It's bloody cold. It happens, you know. I mean, to do that, it's just.
Do you reckon football clubs treat their undersoil heating in the same way Irish mammies treat their immersion, Dave? You know, when the groundskeeper goes home at night terrified he left an undersoil heating on.
I have to go home and check, you know, just make sure it's I don't know. I mean, this. But winter, you know, it's going to be sport. I think a lot of these folks can't even afford the undersoil heating. I mean.
Yeah. I remember a lad I know telling me a story. He recently bought a house. But he heated the house by oil, and obviously the pipes ran in under the house. But the last person who owned the house didn't re-insulate the pipes. So basically, when it would snow, his would be the only garden that would never freeze over, because basically the pipes weren't insulated, so all the heat would come through the ground. So his garden, his grass was lovely and warm, but his house was fucking freezing. You used to have to go out and lie in the grass.
I mean, there's not many clubs in London that have it, though, you know. I think Fulham, Arsenal and Millwall are the only clubs that have undersoil heating. I don't even think Stamford Bridge has undersoil heating. I could be wrong on that now.
I thought all the Premier League teams had to have it. I thought they all had to have it. Every Premier League team had to have undersoil heating. I thought that was I remember reading something about how that was
Liverpool. They'd be terrified the copper would be robbed.
Yeah, I mean.
No way, Jose.
I could be wrong.
I'm just looking here on it. I don't know if it does have it, actually, to be honest. I remember just someone telling me. I don't think it does, you know. I don't think it actually has undersoil heating. Believe it or not, it's just a funny one. Probably doesn't need it. Like, it's a bit more central where it is, where Millwall is basically by the docks, and it's cold. I mean, one of the stands in the stadium is called the Cold Blow Lane,
which Italian. I know Fulham's obviously right next to Thames, and that is bloody cold. So maybe that's why they have it, you know, but... or actually, is it on there? I'm not too sure, but I mean, that just sounds like a row. That sounds like something that that guy's had with the chairman, and he's just looked for a reason to get rid of him.
Yeah, 27 years in the job. I mean, I'm sure somebody somewhere along the line would have found out if he was a bit incompetent beforehand, so must have been a bit of a...
To be your head groundsman as well.
He's only fucking cutting grass. You know?
Jesus, no, that's not to mean the guy's job here, Frankie. That's not to mean the guy's job, you know.
I just love to sit in on a groundsman for a lower league team's performance review. You know,
oh, that grass was too high there now, didn't it?
Did it lead to a match being called off or postponed?
Yeah, the match was postponed due to the frozen pitch. But I don't know. Maybe he was supposed to put some sort of cover over it the night before or something. You don't know.
Basically, the match being postponed lost them €3,000 worth of tickets, and they needed a salary off the books to compensate.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. A quick Google would find that undersoil heating is not a requirement in the Premier League.
Yeah, that's right.
Up yours, Dave.
Does this guy have a Wikipedia page, Ken?
Ken Hare. I'm sure he has now.
Ken Hare.
And start one up from. I'd love to see his club career. You know,
he's got three campaigns now for online campaigns here, trying to get him his job back. So I don't know.
He's got a podcast now, campaign. So we can, if he's listening, you know, Ken Hare, we support you.
Can we love him?
That celebrity groundsman that was floating around for a while. I think he went from Chelsea to Real Madrid.
Was he not the Arsenal guy?
Was it probably the Arsenal one?
I remember him, groundskeeper.
I think the Champions League final was being played in the Bernabeu or something like that. He was getting a lot of coverage. He's like the Mark Clattenburg of groundskeepers, isn't he? Like,
yeah, actually, I remember.
I think he won the award there in Dubai recently, groundskeeper of the year.
Yeah, he was England's, wasn't he, England's groundsman, and he was Arsenal's groundsman, and then he lost him to Spain, and Wenger went fucking mad over it, because apparently the FA weren't giving him enough money, or it was just something like that. He had a fallout, and he was just offered incredible money, and Wenger wasn't too happy, but I think he's gone to NFL.
Haven't won the league since?
No. There you go.
Yeah, Paul Borges is the guy's name. Real Madrid signed him in 2009.
Oh, Jesus.
Has he gone to the NFL, Kenny? Did I read that correctly?
NFL.
Maybe he's got another promotion, but he was, as of 2014, he was still at Real Madrid anyway. He's their Galactico groundsman.
Well, he's obviously good, isn't he? Like, I mean, he's obviously amazing what he does.
Yeah, he's a turf expert, is what he's called.
And they actually, just reading here, apparently Real Madrid sent him to the San Siro to inspect the pitch. Fuck's sakes. What does he do, talk to the grass, does he? Fucking grass whisperer.
Grass whisperer.
Grow for me,
His
babe.
Name is Mr. Borges, anyway, so fair play to him.
Well done.
He did very well for himself.
All right.
That was A1. So
then, board are the wankers of the week.
Fuck you, Southend.
All right, guys. Anything else is... seen in the news that caught your attention?
Mr. Odewenge.
Oh, he's an honourable mention for the previous aforementioned award.
He's a Hall of Famer in your eyes, don't
he? He is a Hall of Famer. I'm reading here,
original, isn't he?
Ah, he has to be the original Premier League wanker. I mean,
and it was around this time as well, wasn't it?
January transfer window about 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Right, yeah. it's his time all year round.
Speak about him fondly on his anniversary there, don't he?
Peter Odewenge is the gift that keeps on giving, Frank. He can't help himself. I mean,
keeps on fucking taking.
Yeah, look. It's like a wrestling stable of footballing arseholes that he's in. Sadio Berahino can have my shirt and my song if he scores a goal at Stoke, says Peter Odewenge. They're the sort of guys that he's hanging around with. And then there's another one where he actually backs Dimitri Payet. There's a shock. Yeah,
Payet actually took a pay cut
to go to Marseille.
Yeah, He just wanted. It's actually family reasons. So I think we were a bit harsh on him a few weeks. So I think
I don't know.
I think we owe him an apology.
No, I don't think so. Really, I think, do you know what really annoys me about, well, everything, and really annoys me, but what really annoys me about that is that if a team wants to rot a player, say I don't like it, I'm going to rot you, they can go to an arbitration, they can go to the players' union, the PFA, they can go all the stuff, FIFA can get involved, and they can get out of contract from due to constructive dismissal. But I think it's wrong that a player like Paya, whatever his fucking name is, can actually go, I'm not playing for you anymore, that's it. I think there should be a law. I think there should be a panel like the dubious goals panel. What do you say? Look, this is what's happened. This is the evidence. And then they can decide, right, that's it. If you refuse to play, then you don't get paid. Why are we paying you? I think they should be able to do something like that. I think that's wrong. I think it's too much player power. I think they need to rein that in a little bit. How can you imagine if you're in a normal job? You said, no, I'm not working. You'd be fired. You know, that there should be something like that in football. And then you should be suspended until you play again. Are you, you know, I think that's just ridiculous.
No. What's your experiences of Odd and Wingy, Dave?
Odd and Wingy? Well, I was actually watching, happened to be watching the Sky Sports News interview that he was, that the lads are on about there, where he was coming out with these comments. One of the comments he said was, I think he was having a go with the West Brom fans, actually, about the treatment of Berahino, that fans need to start showing more loyalty towards players. And I just asked myself, hang on, he's the fella who hightailed it down to QPR while he was still a player at West Brom, hoard himself out of the club outside the training ground in his car, trying to get in, and they were having another. He basically had no business being there. Came back to West Brom with his tail between his legs, and yeah, I think he faced about 6 months of the fans calling him every name under the sun. So it sounded like a complete dig at them fans who did that to him, who said that to him. And, you know, Sky Sports for giving him a platform to do that. It's, you know, complete and utter bang out of order. And, yeah, he, saying that about Poyet as well, I see both sides of the coin there, to be honest. I don't...
It's Odd and Wingy bad enough, lads, for us to name the Wanker of the Week in honour of him, so we can call it the Peter Odd and Wingy Wanker of the Week.
Do you know, he's like the yellow jersey, isn't he? I had a Peter Odd and Wingy, not the Macedonian one, but the Irish team have. Yeah. Or I am Peter, he's just a tool, isn't he? I mean, he's just a tool. No, but I don't know the guy, thankfully.
And, you know, we can then move on to, you know, wasted talent. So players that have, you know, really looked like they were going to push on but lost their way to alcohol, and then we can be the Paul McGrath Award sponsored by Domestos.
Oh. Ooh, how fucking dare you, Frank? He's a legend.
Too popular there, Frank, yeah.
Oh, fucking Kenny is going to run you over in his car when he sees you next time after that comment. What's he call him up in Birmingham? They call him God, don't they?
Me? Yeah. Paul McGrath, they call God as well.
Yeah.
he sent a nice tweet to Conor Hourihan.
Yeah, he did, yeah. I'm joining Villa. Nice signing for us.
Did he send a bottle of Dismessos in the post? No, sorry, I shouldn't say that.
Ah, look, he's a good man. You know, we all have our demons.
Paul McGrath, legend, absolutely. I actually read his book. It's a very good book.
Is the best football book I've ever read, by far.
Probably the only football book you've ever read, Dave.
What was the night out? Doesn't have lift with up Paul flats. McGrath. What would that have been like, lads? Honestly, I mean,
sorry, Dave. I might have insult Dave and Paul McGrath in the one go. Sorry,
I've been to some.
You're getting me back. It's okay.
But it's never crossed my mind to think, you know what? I'm out of booze, but I have Domestos.
You're at the bottom of your tether, you know. It's
ah, no,
that's what it goes.
Yeah, he was just trying to clean the system out, you know.
Yeah,
works for the Jacks.
Yeah. I think it works for bones and organs, though. Funny enough, but I mean, that was obviously a cry for help, wasn't he? He was in a poor state. How's he been actually lately? I haven't heard of him going off on one. He normally...
Yeah, I must give him a ring, actually, see how he's getting on.
I don't want to ask for him.
Yeah.
He's active on Twitter and all
He's
that,
actually
so
very active on Twitter, but when he's really active on Twitter, you kind of get to worry about him a bit.
He's very shy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a nice bloke.
Very nice.
I think we should reach out to him.
Paul,
he could be our first celebrity guest.
Paul, you're
just go up and ambush him in a pub.
Paul, you're my fucking hero.
Paul, to shove him on the phone and say, Paul! Poor fucker.
Come here, Paul, will you record this out clip for us? Tell Peter how the wanky is a wanker.
Oh, God, we're going to get sued by Peter on a wanky.
He's allegedly a wanker, sorry.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. John.
Right. On that note, lads, before we're summoned to court, I think we'll call it a night. That's all right with everyone.
Just another 2 minutes.
2 minutes. just in case people are wondering what we're on about. What was it, Frank? 2 minutes and like another 20 minutes later. I'll be 5 minutes, lads, and then another 2 minutes, another 20 minutes later, another 2 minutes. So that's what we're on about there.
Yeah.
Total diva.
Well, if you're important, people will wait.
Yeah, I know, you fucker. Hour late getting on here today, but at least you got it done, eh?
Yeah. I was in makeup.
Well, getting that turtle backs on the head, Frank, yeah?
His head was in the shino ball.
So we've offended Dave, Pomegranate, and bald people. God, I'm going to be in fucking serious trouble.
That's okay. We all know you're the wanker of the year, so we forgive you, you know?
Absolutely.
All right, lads. Thanks for tonight. And
thank you.
We might try and get a show during the week to speak about the midweek games if anyone's around, so make sure we stay posted to that.